The Michael Conforta you have picked up is not productive.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Oh, to be young again. Welcome. It is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. It is Monday. I am Tristan H. Cockcroft, leading the way today. And I'm joined by my good friend, my colleague, and co-host for the day, AJ Mass. And of course, as always, behind the glass, well, actually, we have a new person behind the glass. Frank Dale joins us. And of course, Cal Soppy, as always. Keith Lipscomb, I hear, is hiding out there in the background. It's a whole bunch of us today to get you prepared with a lot of news. And I brought up the youth theme. We're all quite young today, aren't we, AJ?
I'm thinking of moving to Oakland just because. I mean, it seems to be a hotbed of young talent.
Yes, I'm sure there'll be a lineup spot for you if you're under 25. It seems that's the theme. But there's a bigger name I think I'll start with. So let's dive right into that with the buzz. I like where you're going, AJ. I'm throwing you a curve here because there's this kid in L.A. You might have heard of him. It is not – don't call me Clay Bellinger, Mr. Cody Bellinger – who just keeps putting up record performances. And, you know, I have to admit, I'm kind of astonished at what he's done here. He's the quickest in MLB history to 6 multi-home run games. He did it in his 57th game, got up to that number. Oh, he's got the most homers through his 57 career games. He's got 24 of them. The guy's on pace for 50 home runs. He's just incredible what he's done. I mean, the accolades we could just rain down upon here. But, AJ, we've got to project Cody Bellinger going forward. When we see performances like this, we always worry about regression. You know, maybe he'll get in the home run derby and we'll have that dreaded home run derby jinx. I'm throwing all these possible negatives. Is there any reason to think this?
No. I mean, there was no reason to think he would do what he did thus far. So the track record is all we've seen. And, yes, generally speaking, you say, okay, a guy comes up, the pitcher's going to make adjustments on this guy, and you know, I'm always a big advocate of not getting too hyped up about the shiny new toys, but at some point, you just got to go, this guy keeps doing it. There's tape on him now. There's a lot of video out there. People have been trying to figure out what to do to stop him, and they haven't been able to stop him. So I don't really see why this can't continue.
I got to ask you, since you brought up tape, I find this an intriguing angle in that my thought has always been that the time that teams get the best tape on players and that we see some regression ends up in year number two. I wonder, AJ, I mean, he can't possibly hit 50 home runs, could he?
I don't think he's going to hit 50. But if you told me today that he was going to end up with 40 to 45, I'd say, yeah, probably. You know, it's not like he's going to be facing a whole bunch of aces the rest of the way. He's going to get his time at you know, in Arizona and in Coors and a lot of hitter starts. He's going to be facing a lot of pitchers, especially with the new 10-day disabled list, a lot of pitchers who are coming up in spot starts and stuff. I just think that this is a prime year for a kid like this who exhibits power early, you know, both him and Judge, to potentially keep the power going.
Judge, by the way, number 3 in the player rater right now. Cody Bellinger is 25th overall, which is pretty incredible. I mean, I've been shooting him up my ranks. I continue to do that. Same with Aaron Judge. These guys are premium players. Dynasty and redraft, it's quite a year. So, AJ, let's get to your A's comment here, because the A's have gone with a full-fledged youth movement, and they had a little historical feat of their own in Saturday's game. Franklin Barreto making his big league debut. Jacob Brugman and Matt Olson all homering on Saturday. It was their first career homers hit in this game. That's the first time in Major League Baseball history that we've seen three players hit their first homer in a single game. It happened once in the Federal League, actually. But pretty impressive performance here. And there's a lot of youth now, the people, I think, with the dynasty angled, thinking a lot of players in Oakland who are now getting new opportunities. We discussed on the show last week Stephen Vogt being released. We'll get to him in a minute. But that opened up opportunities for the young Bruce Maxwell, Josh Fegley behind the plate. We've seen Matt Chapman, who's now on the DL. Of these Oakland players, AJ, who intrigues you most here? Who would you add and in what leagues?
Well, I mean, I definitely like Maxwell, especially because catcher is such a hit-or-miss position. Especially if you're in a two-catcher league. I mean, I had him right now. There's no reason not to. You know, you look at these days, I mean, if you look at their top 10 prospects, they're coming up left and right. With, in addition to Maxwell, you have him, although he's on the DL, but that opened up the spot for Moreno to come up for a little while, you know, with Montas and Jarrell Cotton. I mean, this is a team, when you're 17 and a half games out of first place and June's coming to an end, why not do this? I applaud them for doing it. They'll be way ahead of the curve. This isn't like an Astros thing where they're trying to lose either. I think these are players who are ready, and it's just a question of they're going to sell more. They're going to get, you know, Flowery, they can send him packing too and give the Barreto the position come August. I mean, I think this is definitely a youth movement that's here to stay, and it's going to be fun to watch this team develop.
I feel like, though, perhaps some of these guys are better used in deeper mixed or AL-only leagues. I don't know about in the standard game whether they're going to be additions here. The thing that struck me about Barreto, and I actually did put a dollar bid on him in Labor AL in the preseason, thought that we would see him this season. What I'm disappointed by, AJ, is the fact that he's not running like he did in the lower levels of the minors. I mean, I don't want to get it too much ahead of myself, and you made this point that we don't want to overrate some of the youngsters. I mean, Bellinger and Judge aside, Barreto had 4 stolen bases in 68 games for AAA Nashville this year, which is kind of disappointing. There were some hints that maybe he's up here temporarily, but I think the fact that the A's are doing this full-fledged youth movement means that we're much more likely to see these guys stick and play every day. So maybe in an AL-only league, you look for steals from Barreto, maybe a little bit of batting average, some power from Matt Olson. Brugman, I'm not quite sure what to make of him. That's I don't know. What are your thoughts on Brugman?
You know, to him, he's one of these names where it's like, okay, I want to see what happens going forward. There are so many young players getting a chance now between the A's movement, you know, obviously the two stars and studs that we've seen so far with Judge and Bellinger, but also, you know, in Philadelphia where, you know, any chance they get, they start bringing up the young kids. There's just so many that the odds of more than what have already hit, you know, it's kind of like when a Harper and Trout came up and everyone was like, oh, who's going to be the next Harper and Trout? You're not going to get a next Harper and Trout. You're certainly not going to get another Trout. And this is a different animal with Bellinger and Judge. This is, you know, all power. I think you're going to see maybe two guys like this every 5 years, but you know, you're not going to see more than that. It is still rare. It's just that they're happening side by side, and I think we put a little bit too much of a spotlight on it. So in terms of other players like Brugman, like, you know, I'll watch them, but unless I'm in a dynasty league, I'm really not looking quite yet.
So I'll point out that Judge is hitting for average in addition to the home runs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but I don't think that'll hold up given his K rate, but you know, you never know.
Oh, the most of the projections have him in the 260-270 range. I think he can do better than that, but
fine.
You're right. He's whiffing 30% of the time. That's a lot. That's a lot. Let's get to that Vogt comment there. Let's cover this one real quick, AJ. Steven Vogt gets claimed by the Brewers. They demoted Jet Bandy in order to make room, which makes it look like to me that Vogt is going to play pretty regularly, if not be the starting catcher for the Brewers. Seems like a good landing spot for him there, and NL-only owners might be considering fab bids for him. Where would you place Vogt's value for this point going forward?
Yeah, I'm actually not jumping the gun there. I mean, they really like Jet Bandy in terms of the future of But I mean, he's hitting 0.53 in June, and so that's obviously for a first-place team, you can't afford that from your catcher spot, even though he's the backup. They like Pena. Pena's going to be the primary starter. Vogt is only going to play because he's a left-handed hitter, and they can use him occasionally when the starting matchup is right for him. But Craig Counsell has said that they're trying him out. If it doesn't work out, I think they'll just bring Bandy back. I don't think they're sold on Vogt, and I think that Pena still remains the primary starter. So I'm not really looking to add Vogt unless, like, you know, I'm in a like an NL only league with, you know, two catchers. He's not ready yet.
I have one of those. I have 100 cap on my fab, and I had Mr. Jet Bandy. So what would you place on him in a 100 cap league like that?
You know, I at that point, sure, you know, maybe you go 7 or 8 there. I think the position isn't necessarily his yet. But, I mean, if you're desperate, yeah, it's a spot. But I don't think a lot of people are going to be rushing out to get him.
Yeah, and I don't think they should. I'm with you. I think he's more of a number two catcher, probably not even on the mixed league radar there, even in a two catcher league. It's a good ballpark, but you're right, not great defensive metrics.
I always have him, you know, in the preseason. I always rank him highly, thinking that this is going to be the breakthrough year. It just hasn't happened.
So let's talk a couple of comebacks here. We had Felix Hernandez get back on the mound. He had what I hear is called a quality start. He reached that six innings and no more than three earned runs cap there. Had exactly the six and three. Decent first step back for Felix Hernandez. But, AJ, where would you place his value going forward?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wrote about the quality start thing last week, and it's, you know, who cares? At 6-3 is still a 4.50 ERA. It doesn't really mean all that much. So I'm for a guy coming off the DL, it's impressive, and you certainly want to make sure that a pitcher is able to do that at a baseline, but I wouldn't go crazy over it. I still have Felix kind of in the streaming range for going forward right now. I still want to see more. I still want to, you know, see him get into the seventh inning and be able to hold the team to two runs before I buy in. Matchup space right now outside my top 50, which is what I consider my, you know, must starts, because, you know, 5-man rotation, 10-team league, that's kind of where I put my line. But he's just on the outside looking in, and that's just because I've seen one start.
Velocity was about where it was before he got hurt, so I'm with you on that, AJ. I don't think he's in the top 50, not for me. I don't think that's in any sort of format here. I think you are going to have to pick and choose. It's a good first step, but I think the danger is too much name value for him. Another comeback, Lance McCullers, has actually had a little bit, at least in my estimation, a better performance, but didn't go as deep in the game. 5 innings, 8 Ks, 1 run. He did this against the Mariners. So after the DL stint for the back issue, we got McCullers back, and I think there's been a lot of excitement about him this year with how he had performed before he had gotten hurt. But the question remains, and the DL stint reminded us of this, what is the innings cap for Lance McCullers? I still feel like in the regular season he's not going to get much past 170 or 180 innings. But where exactly do you have him ranked?
Well, and here's the bizarre dichotomy of it. It's like, I agree with you that perhaps he has an innings cap placed on him, or but by missing the time that he missed, that almost works in favor of him pitching deeper into the season because he's already had those innings off. And even though it was because of an injury, you know, it's time that he didn't pitch, and it doesn't add to his innings. So I think that actually increased his value for the rest of the season, the injury stint. It's a bizarre thing with this 10-day list that if all you miss is, you know, between 10 and 15 days, and you're a young pitcher who may have a cap placed on you, the team may consider not using it as tightly as they might have previously. So I actually moved him up going forward. I have him in my top 20, and it's because he's back now. 8 strikeouts in 5 innings, pretty darn good as far as I'm concerned, and it can only get better from here on out. And again, those, I don't think the team's going to be as tight with him, especially with Keuchel out, you know.
A pace of 170 2/3 innings. So, yep, I'm in agreement here. I think he is at least a top 20 capable starter. The only reason I wouldn't keep him there is just if I was to take the under on that projection. But I like it. I like seeing him back, and I like what how this played out. Let's get a little closer carousel going.
The closer carousel.
So, AJ, two big topics here I want to touch on first. Zach Britton, we've got the anticipated return date after the forearm injury. He's due back on July 5th, so that would give him a little under a week before the All-Star break to get back to full speed. And then, presumably, if all goes well, he'd have the full second half. Britton, are you in on him?
Yeah, I'm in on him. I think he'll definitely be handed the keys to the kingdom, as it were, and you know, ride or die with him as far as the Orioles are concerned. You know, I have him currently as my number 12 reliever for the rest of the way, and that will automatically just get, you know, that's based on the fact that he is not coming back immediately. As soon as another week passes, he's moving up because that's time that he's not missing. So I would say he's top 10 the rest of the way, and quite possibly top 5 is a lock, assuming he stays healthy. I just don't see him coming back and not performing the way that we're expecting. I just don't see it. I mean, anything can happen, but, you know, if they're going to let him back, he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, if I had the promise he was going to stay healthy, I'm with you. I think he's unquestionably a top 5 guy. The thing that alarms me is during the rehab stint, it's 2 walks so far in 3 innings. Granted, it's the tiniest of samples, but I just really hope his command is good. I probably would not start him next week. I would, if I have a league with enough bench space, I would keep Brad Brock around just to keep safe there for at least a couple of weeks. You never know whether there's any setbacks or anything,
well,
but I do
yeah,
think that Britton's worth investing.
Yeah, also keep in mind that sometimes, you know, we expect, oh, it's a rehab and it's going slow, and we try and read too much into it. You really do have to investigate each case separately. And what the Orioles are doing is they're trying to treat this month of June into July when he comes back as a spring training. They felt they rushed him and pushed him too hard in the real spring training, and now they're saying, are you going to pitch Monday? You're going to pitch Thursday. You're going to pitch Saturday. And, you know, they're scheduling him out, and he's pitching an inning in each of those games. So it really isn't about the performance at all. They're just saying, throw your pitches, get your velocity up, and worry about the other stuff later. They're just trying to get the arm strong. So I wouldn't even look at any of the stats. As long as he stays healthy and he's on this pace, he'll be there on the 5th, and he'll be fine.
Fingers tightly crossed. Toronto,
yeah, exactly.
Roberto Osuna, dealing with some anxiety lately. We saw Jason Grilli come in, didn't have the prettiest of game in his absence, getting a save chance there. Not doing particularly well. Now, in Asuna's case, I'm not sure exactly how this is going to play out. I mean, hopefully he can get everything straightened out here. I mean, you have to feel for the guy in the situation, and it's understandable. But fantasy owners need to adjust accordingly. Do you think, AJ, there's anything to adding Jason Grilli? Do you think he's a worthwhile pickup?
Certainly, if you have the roster spot, I would do it. I mean, it's just one of these things. You know, it's almost – you remember when Mackey Sasser was the catcher for the Mets, and he had that little glitch where he couldn't throw the ball?
Yes,
Yeah, and it's just a mental thing. And the mental thing is something that you cannot predict, and it could go away tomorrow or it could plague Osuna the rest of the season. I mean, he's even saying that it's not even anything that's affecting him while he's pitching. He actually feels okay while he's pitching. It's the rest of the time, which is just draining his energy. So at least the positive spin, just from what I'm hearing, is that this isn't a thing where he takes the mound and has some sort of issue. It's everything else around it. So hopefully he can figure out whether it's, you know, something medical or just, you know, some way to ease that. Because I think if he can get the sleep he needs, it's not anything that's wrong with his pitching. So I think he can get the job back, but you never know. These things could linger.
He's pitched quite well when he's been healthy. I mean, you got to feel for a guy like this who went on the DL minutes before the season started. I think Osuna's done very well considering. I think he has the skills to quickly take that job back. Frankly, I'm not adding Grilli at all. I just don't think he's really a quality guy to keep that job. He's got that bad combination of a high walk rate and a high fly ball rate. Not wild about that at all. There's a couple other guys here who, AJ, to do this quickly, I want to just get your take on who you think gets more saves of a couple of these guys in the other bullpen. I'm going to go to Texas first and throw Matt Bush and Keone Kella at you. You have to pick one.
I have to pick one?
You have to pick one, and it's, you know, based more on saves going forward.
I'll pick Bush, but I'm not confident about it, and really it's just the immaturity of Kella. The clubhouse, you know, pretty much revolted against him and said, you need to do something. I hope he's learned his lesson and will be able to be welcomed back, but it's tough to rely on a pitcher whose teammates don't seem to think he's ready to be in the big leagues, especially for that closer role. And if the team doesn't feel confident behind him, then the manager can't. So that's the only reason I go Bush there. I mean, Keel is the better pitcher, and I think long-term, he's got more of a future in the role, but just not this year.
I can see this going either way, but I would be with you on more saves by Matt Bush. I think it's going to be awfully close between them. The fact that the Rangers threw him out there again after the blown save on Friday, or actually the blown game, it wasn't a blown save, but he gave up that big home run. The Atlanta Braves, Jim Johnson and Aroldis Vizcaíno. Vizcaíno having a nice outing this weekend.
Yeah, Vizcaíno, you know, he's strong and solid, and I just think this is a wait to the trade deadline kind of situation. I think as soon as the Braves find a taker for Johnson, then he'll be gone. And, you know, for that veteran leadership in the pen, and he doesn't have to pitch the ninth somewhere else. He can pitch the eighth, and then Vizcaíno can jump right in. I think he's fine right now in terms of he's a very strong pitcher. He's probably – he's in my top 10 of pitchers who aren't getting saves right now. And so when you add the saves to that, he'll shoot way up the rankings.
Without a doubt. In fact, if you're weighting that based on saves in Vizcaíno's case, because I think Johnson might be a trade candidate, I think I might put him higher than even just top 10, maybe top 5, possibly top 3. I think Vizcaíno is one of the best stashes for future saves. Let's turn to the Angels. AJ, have fun. Angels, you got to take a guy. Good luck.
I have to pick a guy, huh?
Yes, I'm putting you on the spot. I'm so mean on a Monday.
I mean, I hope he can Bedrosian.
I want to see him too. Yeah, I want to see Cam Bedrosian. I don't know if it's going to happen. Watch the leading guy from this point forward gets six saves. All right, well, let's get away from that mess. Throw a quick combo meal list in here.
Hey, it's a combo meal. Combo, combo. It's a combo meal. Home run plus steal.
So we had four of them over the weekend. We had Mr. Brett Gardner's on Friday. That was tied to the Matt Bush comment from a minute ago, hitting that home run there in the ninth inning. Chris Davis, the active one, the A's one. We can call him the active one. We don't have to call him K. Chris Davis anymore. Sunday, Keon Broxton had one. And here's the one I want to ask you about, AJ, is Carlos Gomez, who's actually performed quite a bit better of late, has the Saturday combo meal. I want to get your read on where you would rank Carlos Gomez. He's an interesting take because, as you know, as our points league guru, his value is, I think, at least in my estimation, very different between rotisserie and points-based. So how would you value him, in especially points?
Well, let me ask you, since you are the roto-type guy, where do you have him, and I'll tell you higher or lower. How about that?
I've got him as a top 40 outfielder. Not better than that, though. There's plenty out there.
Interesting. You know, I have him as my number 117 hitter overall going forward. And to give you an idea of who's in that kind of general ballpark figure, we're talking Hunter Renfroe, Nomar Mazara, Aaron Alter. Like, it's in that kind of range. I think the strikeout to walk ratio is still pretty high, and that really hurt him. Even if he does have, you know, he's going to be a 2020 guy, and that combo works really well in rotisserie of double-digit homers and steals going forward. But in terms of a points league, it doesn't matter where the points come from. So if he hits 250 and strikes out as much as he does, I don't see him entering my top 100 in hitters.
In his nine games back, as Kyle notes here, 10 hits, seven of them were for extra bases. Past three games, he struck out eight times. You're right, AJ. It's very, very up and down. It's why I can't rank him better than that. But I'll tell you, I think he's just a roto discussion more than points. Let's take a look at the schedule here quickly, squeeze that in the before the little break. Monday, we've got a couple of early games. As noted in the forecaster here, I've got an updated version of that for you this week. We've got a 3:40 game between the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. It's the end of their wraparound weekend series. Makeup Reds and Cardinals game at 4:15. So make sure you get your lineups in early on Monday. There are those two somewhat earlier than usual games in the unusual 3:40 p.m. start time. But some curious pitching matchups here. We've got a couple of comebacks. Cole Hamels comes back for the Rangers, pitching at Cleveland. AJ, I know my opinion is I'm not going anywhere near him in a Cleveland game on the road, but I will be keeping a close eye on this performance just to see how he's doing. And the other is that Brandon Finnegan comes back to the Reds in this game in St. Louis. Any chance to go near either one?
I might go near Finnegan. I certainly feel better about him than Cole Hamels. I agree with you. I'm not touching Hamels at Cleveland. I just think Finnegan's ready, and because he's facing a Cardinals team that doesn't impress me all that much in terms of a total lineup. Like, any given day, several of their players get hit, but I couldn't pick out who those hitters are. They seem to be one of these jack-of-all-trades type lineups right now. The teams I'm going to load up, though, on both Philadelphia and Arizona hitters. I think that 3:40 start is really crucial. If you're playing even in daily, if you can get all the games into one contest, definitely I would go heavy in stacking both of them. Because of the long game they played yesterday, neither one has a bullpen. Arizona's going to be facing Pivetta, and once they get through him, I think they'll let him out to hang if they get him early, and there's nothing behind him. And Greinke is probably going to be asked to go six, seven innings, and I think he might overdo it. And if he doesn't have his stuff, it could be a brutal, long, double-digit scoring game for both teams here.
It's kind of a bold call going with the Phillies hitters there in that game, but I like the idea based on the ballpark, and, you know, they'll be cheap. I don't know. I wouldn't do it. I think that's kind of aggressive. But, hey, you're right about the early start time. We'll see how that goes.
Well, there's not a lot of options today, too. I mean, I think that's interesting. It's such a small schedule.
Yeah, that's very true. There's a lot of quality pitching considering the short schedule. Very, very strange there. I'm actually torn as to which guy to take for my DFS pick. I'm trying to talk myself into Jeff Samardzija in the home game against the Rockies. I think that might be a sneaky good one for a low price.
Possibly. I mean, you know, I think I'd probably prefer to go with Rich Hill at home, but he is Rich Hill. Blister in the third, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure where to go there. The Angels have struggled against lefties, but it's Rich Hill. I don't know. It's not going to be easy. Jose Barrios at Boston. Any chance he'd use him?
I wouldn't because it's Boston. I just don't. That ballpark scares me for anybody going in. You know, and Sale. I mean, Sale. I certainly would start Sale in a heartbeat. But it's tough. There's like Carrasco's pitching. I definitely like him, but he's facing Texas. It's tough. You know, it's. The matchups are very interesting. I even like Eddie Butler against Washington, except for the fact Washington and how well have they been hitting of late. It's going to be a fun day, I think, for DFS players to try and pick that lightning in a bottle. Who you know, and it'll probably turn out we'll see like a 1-0 shutout between Montgomery and Holmberg.
Or Barrios will win 1-0. Just watch. It's the way baseball works. He drew the short end of the stick. He couldn't get the Doug Fister game. Definitely a risk-reward day for sure. Tuesday, let's shift to that. A couple of guys that stand out to me are James Paxton of the Mariners gets the home game against the Phillies. Jeff Hoffman on the road against San Francisco. He's been a little tough to get a read on, but in the road games, I know he's a lot more intriguing. After struggling in the last outing, the Wednesday game at Coors Field, I don't know, I'm going to roll the dice on him. I know this is another risk-reward pick, but I feel like there's some good things coming for Hoffman. How about you?
Well, I think the thing with Hoffman is the correction was bound to come. I mean, if you looked at his xFIP compared to his ERA, there was going to be correction. And it just so happened that in one day, his ERA went from 2.25 to 4.29. I mean, that was an insanely bad outing. But it was just one outing. I think his ERA now for the year is now high for where it should be. And I think he'll be fine, especially on the road. So I don't think you caught Hoffman considering how well he had pitched beforehand. The guy I'm actually going to go quote unquote all in on Tuesday is Dan Straley, because the Mets not only are hurt beyond belief as they have been all year, but they have to fly from the West Coast where they've just played a whole bunch of games on the road to Miami. And that's just going to be brutal for these guys who are already tired from this West Coast. I don't know who scheduled a trip to Miami after going to the West Coast, but oof, it's going to be ugly for them. It really is.
You wouldn't schedule a trip to Miami after a trip to the West Coast? Come on. I mean, it's not a baseball thing, but hey.
Always go to Miami.
Relax on the beach.
Never a bad time.
The Mets bats this week are just not going to do well. They're not going to do – it's just – I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. At least send them home first for a day. But no, they're not going to be home until after the Miami series.
Yeah, we actually don't lean enough on the fact that rest has to be considered after those cross-country travels. So, yeah, good point on that one. Jose Quintana, home game against the Yankees. I got to point this out. Kyle, you noted here that he had a 5.91 ERA in May, and in June his ERA has been 2.25, and I've seen a couple of Quintana's June outings. He looks a lot better, much closer to the pitcher we saw the 3 years before this one. But it's the Yankees. It's Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, and it's a game in Chicago, which is a homer-friendly park. It's a risk-reward game. You know what? I think Quintana's going to throw a quality start here. Tell me I'm crazy.
You're crazy.
That's all I get, huh? I went to the wrong pitcher for the day.
I have such a love-hate with Quintana that I don't even know how to read it anymore. It's one of those things. There are certain players that your personal feelings, when you've owned them and they've let you down, and then you cut them and they suddenly start doing well again. They're just players that you cannot see clearly on. I have him ranked at number 39 going forward the rest of the season, which is certainly a decent spot for him. You're going to pick and choose. I can't do that on an individual basis because I always guess wrong with him. So pass. I do like Drew Pomeranz and Joe Biagini at home for their games. But in terms of Quintana, I'm going to steer clear.
I might take the bait on Matt Strom if I'm going to the sleepers. I like your picks there. But you know what? I think it's time to take a little break here. We'll get our, what is it, 30th minute stretch. Maybe we'll take a little trip to Miami in the meantime. All right.
If we had a Will Smith drop for that Miami quote, that would have been perfect.
What's that?
If we had a Will Smith drop for the Miami mention, that would have been perfect.
How about a Pitbull drop with a Kimba?
There you go.
We've had way too much Will Smith references on the show in the past week.
I'm going to argue
that
there's no
Summertime, AJ. Aren't you glad you missed it?
No such thing as too much Will Smith.
By the way, I like your note about how it's the 20th anniversary of the Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, big time. 20 years.
Cue the bus here. You did see the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
No, because I was told if you couldn't read the book, you couldn't watch the movie, and there's no way I have the attention span to get through a chapter, let alone that whole massive book. So I am Harry Potter free.
Oh, it's a book for kids.
Does that help me or hurt me? I don't get it.
The reading level
I have not read all the books.
High.
I've seen all the movies.
Oh, there you go.
Probably not the early one.
I date a teacher. You know, you get stuck with having to read things before you watch them. It's a mess. All right, so we got a few questions today if you guys are up for it.
Indeed.
Victor wants to know if it's now the time to cut ties with Julio Teheran in favor of a weekly streamer. Teheran's 78% owned right now.
You know, that home road split that he has is maddening. I mean, he actually single-handedly ruined one of my points leagues this week. If I didn't start him, I actually would have won it. Thanks a lot, Julio Teheran. This year he's got a 7.58 ERA at home. He's got a 2.89 on the road. That leans straight to obvious matchups play. And, Kyle, I got to assume it's based on an ESPN standard league. I freely add and drop these guys. I wouldn't be afraid to cut him if I needed.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I have him at 52, which is, again, outside of my must-start pitchers. So, I just don't think there's enough there in terms of the strikeout that he's not getting and the walks that he is. Especially in points league, I have no problem cutting him loose and working the wire.
Any more confident on Tanner Roark? That was another question we had. He's 74% owned.
You know, I think somebody had asked about what's going on with Tanner Roark, and I admit I initially reacted like this is Tanner Roark based on his underlying stats. I mentioned in the preseason that this guy had some of the best magical numbers, beating peripheral stuff. His walk rate was, I think, 10% in the second half last year, and his K rate was something like 17, and his FIP was way higher than his ERA. I think he had a 280-something ERA in the second half, and I feel like this is kind of correction that's coming back to bite him. I don't know. I don't want to be just the big critic here on Tanner Roark, but I think his true skill level is that of a streaming pitcher.
Well, I would agree with you, although in this particular case, I wrote about him in my Points League article yesterday as one of my three pitchers to watch out for and maybe get rid of. But the thing is that he and pitching coach Mike Maddux have identified a flaw in his mechanics, and he's been working on it all June. They were kind of mum about it early on, but now after an 802 ERA, a 3.41 batting average against, I think the cat's out of the bag. But it is a mechanical thing. They are working on it, and because he's been playing with his mechanics all month long, I think you can forgive how bad he's done. He's still very borderline. I have him at number 48 going forward, and that, you know, if he doesn't fix what's wrong, then he's going to drop very quickly. But at least there's an underlying explanation for it that I would potentially hold on to him in the hopes that he could work it out.
8.23 ERA and 5 June starts. I hope he can get this straightened out. You know, he's been good at times.
With you guys talking about pitchers you wouldn't mind dropping versus streaming, the Todd Father wants to know, what if you had to pick one advanced metric for pitchers, what is it?
One advanced? I'd take FIP if you have to pick only one.
Oof. Well, in points leagues, I mean, you have to look at the combination of K to BB rate. That, to me, is the number one thing I look at. And
all right, fair enough. I like the K to BB a little different. FIP, obviously a pretty standard advanced metric. Let me go to the hitters right now. Blake wants to know if anybody's concerned about Michael Conforto hasn't homered since June 2nd. That's a streak of 56 straight at-bats after smoking out of the gates.
I've noticed he's struggling. I know he's had some day-to-day injuries. I think AJ's probably seen him more regularly than I have. But one thing I'll caution with him is I think there was some regression due anyway. I didn't think he was a 300-plus hitting 40 homer guy. I think he was more like a 280 and 25-30. I still think he's an ownable player, but AJ, you watch him a lot.
I think the problem with Conforto is that for whatever reason in this crowded outfield, he tends to be the odd man out. And, you know, luckily for fantasy owners who own him is that, you know, Cespedes has not been playing every day because the Mets are also being very cautious with him. But something's got to give here. Either Granderson's got to get traded or Conforto has just got to be sent to the minors. And I know this is crazy, but send him to the minors for like 2 weeks. Let him get consistent at bat every day to work out this regression. Because I think it's just a lack of everyday playing time with him. He needs to be in the lineup every day, and the Mets are not using him that way. It's incredibly frustrating as a Mets fan and as anyone who owns him in fantasy. I don't think there's anything wrong with him other than he's pressing so hard to stay in the lineup, and it's disappointing.
I hate to challenge a Mets fan on this one, but I'll tell you, Conforto needs to be playing every day for the Mets. Whatever way they need to do it, they're not competitive. They've got to get rid of Bruce or Granderson right now. Granderson's in the final year of his deal. If you got to just let him walk?
That's what I'm saying, but they're not doing that. And as long as they're insistent on playing Granderson and Bruce every day and only using Conforto as the, you know, oh, well, we'll success with us the day off here and Granderson the day off there, send him to the minors for 2 weeks. Let him play every day. That's what I'm saying. Let him play every day. At least so that he's playing. This halfway thing is not working for me. Just let him play every day so that you can bring him right back up in 2 weeks, a little refreshed, a little wiser, maybe seeing some lesser pitching so he can get back in his groove. But play him every day, absolutely, somewhere.
Alrighty, so staying course with Conforto sounds to be the play here. Smith notes that Jose Ramirez broke out in May and he's only continued to hit in June. Is he a top 50 keeper moving forward?
Yes. And I'm going to leave it at one word.
Ditto. And I'm going to leave it at one word.
Yes, and ditto. My man Smith ditto. Has answered question with no doubt.
Let's not head that off with the pass.
I like it. All right, Trent. Keon Broxton has 13 homers and 13 steals. He wants to double the numbers and call that the over-under the rest of the way. 26 homers, 26 steals. What do you got? Over or under for Keon Broxton?
I'll go under homers, over steals, but I like the thinking. And by the way, we got to point out that the Brewers did send Lewis Brinson back down to the minors. If you're a Keon Broxton owner, that was encouraging.
Yeah, that was encouraging. And he just wasn't ready. He just wasn't ready. And Broxton was started to pick things up. Maybe he just needed the little kick in the rear. I agree with you on the under homers, over steals. But at least we know that his time is not ticking, as I kind of thought when they brought Brinson up.
All righty, just a couple more here. You guys were talking about Felix Hernandez potentially waiting on him to see what he is moving forward. He's got Philadelphia and Kansas City in his next two starts and then Oakland before the All-Star break. You considering maybe a couple good starts here, sell high during the All-Star break?
You know, that's a good point. I had not looked three starts ahead of him, but I did see the Phillies. The Mariners, based on the five-game schedule, are going with four pitchers this week. Iwakuma's setback seems more extended. KC and Oakland. Oakland's not as automatic as I think people make it out to be, but if it's in Oakland, I prefer that to Seattle of the two. Kyle, where is that one?
Yeah, it's a home game for Felix.
All right. That's not bad. I would call that more like a middling to slightly above average matchup for Felix. I'd be on board with that. You might as well. I mean, maybe not in a 10-team league, but a 12-team?
Yeah, I just never like to be so absolute. It sounds like, oh, I'll sell high because, you know, he does well, and I don't think he's going to do as well the rest of the season, but it's always in relation to what you're getting back and how they compare to Felix the rest of the way. To me, it's not trading for the sake of trading. It's trading to improve your team. And it doesn't have to be – I'll take a hit at pitcher if I can get, you know, improvement at shortstop or, you know, some other position in a two-for-two deal. But it's never as simple as, yeah, trade Felix. If you Felix is not awful. He's still borderline. Like I said, he's just on the edge of top 50 for me. So after two more starts, he might squeeze in there just based on the performance. So I might not get rid of him unless the offer is improves me more than losing Felix, you know?
Oof, the matchups for the Mariners out of the break aren't especially good.
That's
at Chicago,
brutal.
At Houston, versus Yankees, versus Boston, versus Mets, at Texas.
Oof.
I think you at least got to consider it if we see something here. All right, you guys gave me one-word answers previously. I want one word here. Bellinger or Judge in a keeper league?
Judge.
Gee, the Yankee fan says Judge. What a shocker.
Yeah!
and the National League guy over here, Bellinger.
Oh, I like it. Judge is going to steal more bases, I think, in general.
That's crazy. A guy his size, we're projecting him for more steals. That's just insane.
I don't think either one's going to be especially great in that, but if you get just a couple of them, it's a nice little addition.
I don't disagree. And lastly, and most importantly about that one, yeah, Bellinger not knowing Jerry Seinfeld, Bryce Harper not knowing how to pronounce meme. Which is the bigger social faux pas for the future star?
I'm going to be dating myself here if I say the Seinfeld one is a bigger faux pas, but I feel like it is.
I think meme is the bigger faux pas. It's relevant to their age group a lot more than Jerry Seinfeld is relevant. I mean, neither one rises to the level of Avril Lavigne not knowing how to pronounce David Bowie's name, but I'm certainly going to say that if you weren't really alive when Seinfeld was in his heyday, which is barely at the very end there, I'm going to give you a pass.
I'll break the tie here. I'll go Bellinger not knowing Seinfeld is the bigger issue.
Yay!
You're offending a person. Meme I can live with. You know, whatever.
Memes are plain, aren't they?
Come on. Seinfeld's offended.
And if you haven't seen meme written down, like, I guess that could be confusing. I'm sticking up for the younger guys. I know who Seinfeld is, and I mean, I'm older than Bellinger, but not by a ton. I think you should know who Seinfeld is.
Bellinger.
Kyle, did you see Seinfeld, the movie?
I did not, but I saw every episode. So, I mean, was the movie good? Was that worth...
There was no movie, so you're good.
Well, there you go, then.
Yeah.
And he didn't know
yet.
That, so let's rip him for that, right?
Get the bus here. Get the beep.
It's
beep.
A weekly thing I get ripped for the movie now. So lack of movie knowledge really not a new thing here. All right, that's all we got for questions today. As always, send them to hashtag 06010MLB. We'll get to as many as we can every podcast we got.
Excellent. Now, we got a note here. Kyle, your birthday's on the list. We got to celebrate Derek Jeter's birthday. Huh? Got to love those days. You know, here's the other one that's fun for fantasy. I didn't even realize you put Chris Shelton on this list. I remember the Chris Shelton month.
I was going to say, yeah. If you're a fantasy owner, that might be the only group of people that have, like, super fond memories of Chris Shelton's baseball career.
And nobody on the show ever said that they were completely a believer in Chris Shelton that year. Nope, never happened. Nope.
Interesting.
You can roll the bus backwards over me. It's fine. It's all good.
Ah, 2005. I remember it well.
Yes. Well, a fun show today, as always. Many thanks to AJ Mass for joining me today. Thanks, Kyle Soppy, as always. Thank you to Frank Dale behind the glass. And, of course, Keith Lipscomb. He's hiding out there somewhere, huh?
I'm out here somewhere, just hiding, though.
Excellent. All right, well, we've revealed your hiding place. We'll be back again on Wednesday previewing those games and, of course, some great info as always. Check back then. But in the meantime, that's all for Monday. Thanks for joining us. Everything is awesome. Awesome.